Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our consideration today is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. And in these verses, God's word says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the youngest as sisters, with all purity." And the Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. One of the fundamental truths of the gospel is that the salvation of God in Christ Jesus is open unto all. It is not just reserved for a select group of men. It is freely offered unto the whole of mankind. A person may be old. He may be lying on the hospital bed. He may not have heard of Christ before. But when the gospel is brought to him and he truly repents of his sins and embraces Christ as his Savior, he shall be saved. Similarly, you can have a young boy. He may not have much education. He is still learning the fundamentals of mathematics. He does not know much about science. Definitely cannot be compared to a university professor. And yet, if that young child, by simple faith, repents from his sins and asks Christ Jesus to forgive him and cleanse him by his blood, that young child shall also be saved. It does not matter whether that child is a boy or a girl. It does not matter about the race of the child. So long as the child truly understands the gospel message and by faith embraces Christ Jesus, that child will now be part of the heavenly kingdom of God. Yeah, indeed. Salvation is in the gospel. It is for the Jew and also for the Greek. It is for the Chinese and also for the Indian, also for the European races. It is for men. It is for women. It is for boy. It is for the girl. It is for the rich. It is for the poor. And so long as they possess genuine faith in Christ Jesus, they are accounted as part of the heavenly family. Now, if we understand this fundamental truth of the gospel and of the doctrine of the church, the universal church, then when it comes to the local church, we must also realize that every one of us have the duty to minister unto all. And even more so if you are part of the leadership, and especially if you are the pastor, and that is exactly what Paul wanted to remind Timothy down here in these two verses. This chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 5, is a very practical chapter. It talks about how everyone in the church ought to be treated with respect and with honor, because everyone is a brother and sister in Christ Jesus. Verses 1 and 2 in general, then in verse 3 all the way to verse 16, you will realize that it deals with a particular group of people who is oftentimes neglected. And that particular group of people would be the widows, right? Because in those days, the widows, especially those who are poor, are often regarded as outcasts of society. And so there will be a chapter, or rather there will be a few verses that talks about how to exercise mercy towards them as a form of honoring them. Then, soon, after that, Paul would remind Timothy, and via Timothy, also the rest of the church in Ephesus, to also honor the church leaders, especially those who are accounted to be elders. But, of course, with this greater honor that is bestowed upon them, they must also walk in a manner that is worthy of their honor. And so that will be what we find here in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And so bearing this in mind, that every single person in church ought to be treated with respect and with honor because they belong to the heavenly family of God, Paul now writes to Timothy, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder men as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. In other words, whether they are young or old, whether they are men or women, treat them as part of God's family, as God's church. And you cannot, therefore, neglect one group and say, it's not my business, I don't want to care for them. You know, I only love to work with people that are of my own age, or people who are older than me, or people who are younger than me. And so therefore, if anybody does not fit this age range, I don't care about them. Now, Timothy, as a young pastor, especially him who is a young pastor, he cannot do that, because if he does that, then what more about the other? What more about the congregation? Soon, what you'll find in the congregation is that everybody will be ignoring one another. Oh, I would only want to serve those who are closest to me, those who are my close friends, those who are within my clique. And anybody else that is not inside my clique, that is none of my business. I don't care about them. I only minister to a few. And if I don't like that particular person, he is none of my business. That cannot be the case in a church. And so therefore, Timothy, as the young pastor, he must remember this. Whether be it an elderly man, right? That is the word elder. How do we know he's an elderly man? Well, because in verse 2, right, you see that the parallel verse is on the elderly woman. So this is not referring to the elder as an office. This is referring to an elder as in an elderly man, a person of some age, definitely a person who is older than Timothy. Rebuke not such an elderly man. And in fact, that is the focus down here, right? The person in terms of his age, right? In fact, the word elder down here, right, is the Greek presbyteroi. And then when he talks about the elder woman, it would be the feminine version of presbyteroi, right, which is the root word. So the focus will be the age, elderly, older than Timothy. And Timothy is in a very unique position, because we know that Timothy is about 30 plus. So let's say he is 35. Now, how old does a man live? If based upon Psalm 90, right, a man, right, lives about 70 years old, right? 70 years and 10. Of course, if his strength, right, if God gives him additional strength, well, he may live unto 80, or perhaps, right, with modern medicine, even longer. Right, but 70. So let's say if he is 35. Also, he's somewhere in between, right? If you look at a congregation, if let's say it's spread evenly, you know, half of the people would be younger than Timothy, half of the people would be older than him. So you cannot say, this half, those above me, I care about them, those below me, I don't care. He also cannot say that, no, those below me, I care very much, and then those above me, I don't care. That cannot be, right? It must be attention to all groups. And that's why, when it comes to the church, it is very necessary that the pastor is the ex officio of all the ministries. When we mean ex officio, means all ministries in a certain sense are directly under his charge. Not because, you know, there is, well, you just want to print the name, well, ex officio. Now, if any man have that kind of thinking, that is very dangerous. Don't have that particular person to be the pastor. Every single time you put the term ex-officio means an additional burden. That means every single thing that is done in the fellowship group, whether be it in the Ebenezer, whether be in the Shomerim age group, whether be in the adults group, whether it be in the golden years, whether be in the ladies, whether be it among the men, whether be it among the children, or the pastor's tidy. Everything is the business. Okay, and that is why, right, for some time, right, as a practice in this church, you will realize that if those of you who are in charge of certain fellowship groups, right, you are overseeing certain things, you are required to submit to the session every alternate session meeting, right, a short report of the ministry in which you have been given this duty to watch over. And that is for a good reason, because it is the leader's responsibility to know what is happening. And if therefore, something is not going well, it is also their responsibility to make sure that it is now corrected, it is now walking in the right path. And where is the basis for this? Down here. Everything. Whether it's old, whether it's young, whether it is man, whether it's woman, everything, the leadership must, especially the pastor, he must be concerned. Of course, what is true for the pastor will also be true from every member in the congregation. The pastor follows Christ. Christ ministered to all, isn't it, during his earthly ministry. You realize that he didn't go, no, as he was also a man of 30. He didn't go to the adults and then he says, now I'm only going to talk to you about the young children, I don't care. Now, in fact, that was what the apostles and the disciples tried to do, isn't it? A group of young children was around and then they wanted to chase the young children away. Lord Jesus Christ had to rebuke them. No, let the young children come unto me. Now, don't cast out the children. They are very important in the eyes of God. And then those who are blind, he ministered to them. Those who are lame, he ministered to them. Those who are sick, he ministered to them. The rich, he also ministered to them. Remember the centurion? The centurion, very powerful man, he ministered to the centurion when the centurion come to plead of him to heal the servant. The beggar, he also ministered to them. The demoniac, he also ministered to them. Of every kind, he would minister unto them. So Christ has set the example. And if we call ourselves Christians, of course, we follow the examples of Christ. Now, the pastor is to follow Christ, and then the rest of the congregation is also to follow after the godly example. So therefore, Timothy must follow. And then the rest of us, we too must follow. You cannot say that, for example, I am part of the youth fellowship, and so therefore, I'm part of the Ebenezer. Anything that I do, I only concern the Ebenezer. What happens in the young adults, in the Shomri, I am not concerned. What happens in the adult Bible study? I see my father and mother 24 hours a day. Adult Bible study, let them alone. Ebenezer, we have nothing to do with adult Bible study. We want our own activities. I don't want to have anything to do with adults. It cannot be. There must be this kind of interaction. There must be this kind of concern for one another. This kind of love for one another. This kind of ministering to one another. Same with regards to the adults. Don't just look at the young people and say, oh, they are young people full of problems. How glad I am there is an Ebenezer so I can just chuck them there and then let the Ebenezer run on his own and then I don't need to care about the problems of these young people. It is, you know, the leaders of the Ebenezers who will handle it is their duty. And of course, since it's held at Elder John, and Elder John is seeing over it, it's all Elder John's problem, okay? Or Elder John will be in charge of all the youth. But the rest of us, we don't need to care of the youth. Poor Elder John, every week he sees them, he needs to think of how to look after them. It cannot be the case. So understand this. And the way we minister to one another can be just, you know, need not to be something very intricate or elaborate. It could be very simple things from day to day. For example, right, young people, you go for the church camp. And then you sit on the coach, and then we go there. Many of us, we sit on the coach, and then we go for the church camp. And then the luggage is loaded. Now, some of the people who are handling the luggage, they may not be very strong, they may be very weak. Of course, even though they are very weak, oftentimes they would insist that, no, I can put it up. Because they don't want to trouble other people. But you who are a young person and then you are strong, you have that kind of vigor, why not extend a hand to help them? That is called ministering unto them, isn't it? Just extend, just help them, just put the luggage onto the coach. And then as the coach arrives at the church camp, quickly come down and then help to bring down the luggage. That would be a very simple way to minister unto all, isn't it? And that was something that struck me when I observed one particular pastor doing that. He went to church camp. Now, many times they think, the pastor will sit there and then he hopped down and he was the first to pull it until the people were... And the people were happily talking in the bus while he pulled. By the time they come out, everything was down. The people were so ashamed because there he is helping. Actually, he was supposed to concentrate on speaking God's word, but he was helping all to pull. And that is correct. And so, certain things like this, we learn. Right? Same with regards to the adults. Right? Go around, talk to the young people, minister unto them, encourage them. If they need help in certain areas of their life, especially spiritual things, you being a person who is more experienced in life and hopefully in God's word, we will help them to grow. And so therefore, the elderly woman, the younger men, the younger sisters, everyone must be ministered to, following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But also remember the context of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. In the previous sermon on 1 Timothy, we learned how Timothy most likely was facing some problem, especially with respect to those who are more senior than him, isn't it? And so therefore, Paul had to exhort him, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Now, how to let no man despise thy youth? Well, when dealing with them, you treat them as, well, with those elderly men, and treat them as fathers. Might be just because of their age, they are like a father with you, fathers in Christ Jesus, part of the family, and treat the elderly women as mothers. And then, with respect to the elderly men, as and also the elderly women, okay, rebuke them not. Now, what do we mean by rebuke them not? Does that mean, therefore, that if the elderly men and the elderly women, they are walking in the pathway of sin, that Timothy is not to admonish and not to exhort them to walk rightly, that he cannot correct them? Now, we know that that is definitely not the case, because if you turn to, for example, 2 Timothy chapter 4, right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and then you look at the charge that is given to one who is called into the pastoral ministry. Right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here, God's word says, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." So you will realize that the charge, the solemn command and duty, right, that is the word charge down here, right, given to the pastor, is to reprove and to rebuke. That is included down here. And so therefore, he cannot say, "Oh, because you are older and then you are in sin, and so therefore, because you are older, even if you are in sin, I cannot rebuke you." That is not what it means down here. Because if that is the case, then all churches better go and find, especially if you want to do things your way, right? Better go and find somebody who is as young as possible, right? Because Timothy 35, find somebody younger than 35, find somebody who is maybe 15. 15, then anybody that is above 15, the guy cannot rebuke, right? So that is definitely not what God's word is trying to say down here. Now, this word rebuke is a unique word. It's different from the other words of rebuke that you find in the Holy Scripture. This word rebuke here in classical Greek can mean somebody who strikes with hands. But of course, in this case, it's not just striking with hands that is the concern down here, but rather striking with words. In other words, you rebuke in such a way that you want to hurt, and then you want to destroy, and then you say in a way that is very humiliating, so humiliating that the person may not even want to come out in public. And that is not good. You don't do that with your own fathers, isn't it? If all of us who are young and then we still have our fathers, even though we sometimes try and correct them, we don't shame them in public. We try patiently to talk to them and then to correct them and then to point out to them, "Look, Daddy, maybe what you are doing is not so right." Now, that is exactly what it means down here when it comes to those who are older than you, right? Older than you, right, Timothy. The kind of language that you use, yes, you still must still address sin. You must do it. It is your duty. But the way you address it, you do it in a way that does not destroy the particular person. but rather to help them realize that what is doing is wrong, and then to help them to grow and to mature in the faith. Patiently exhort, patiently encourage, patiently comfort, patiently point it out. Gently, if need be, and later, if the person does not realize it, firmly, but always with love. And that is the key down here. And this really points to how a person who is in the ministry ought to have love for souls. This is a prerequisite of anyone who wants to go into the full-time ministry. There must be a love for souls, a burden for people, to care for them. Now, if you do not have the burden, you do not have the care. Once somebody offends you, or perhaps somebody is in sin, you want to exert your superiority over them. Sure, it will happen. Even if there is a burden and care for souls, sometimes in the weakness of our flesh, people may also do so because of pride. What more if a person doesn't have a burden and love for souls? Cannot. And so what Paul is actually trying to remind him here is this. Firstly, remember, this person who is more elderly than you, he is your father and your mother in Christ Jesus. And also because of Christ Jesus, so therefore you must love him. You love his soul, you care for him, and so therefore when you minister unto him, you cannot do so in a manner that destroys him, that he will not want to listen to you. And if that really happens, you can be very sure that that person will surely despise thy youth. Will surely despise thy youth. Who are you to talk in this manner? Who are you? Okay, sure, I may be in sin, but that way in which you address me is as though I am not part of the family of God. As though you want to destroy me. And that cannot be. And so therefore, down here, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And same with regards to the elderly woman as mothers. And so those of us down here who are young, of course include those who are young leaders, but also those who are young age, right? Talking about the children, and then also the young men in Ebenezer, and these also include the young adults. When we address those who are seniors, it is important that there must be proper decorum, proper courtesy, proper politeness. Don't just talk to them as they are just some friend that is on the street, and then treat them as nobodies. Yeah, it cannot be. It cannot be. And not just in terms of what we speak, but in terms of what we write, in terms of our actions towards them. Right? That is important. So understand this, right? Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And then same with regards to the elderly woman as mothers. And then what else? Now we focus on those who are younger. Remember what we have already discussed in the last sermon. Tendency of people is to look down on those who are young. And as one who is a pastor, Timothy is even greater danger of this, because not only is he older than some of these people in the congregation, he is also given an office. And so all the more, when dealing with young people, there could ever be a temptation to look, who are you? Who are you that I should deal with you? And which is quite ironic, isn't it? Because Timothy is facing a situation whereby there are some in the congregation who are more senior than him, who are starting to despise his youth. But at the same time, he, who is of maybe 30 plus in age, have some who are younger than him, there may also be a danger that he may treat them the same way. And that is something that he must be reminded of. You don't like yourself to be treated that way, right, Timothy? And so, with regards to the younger people, you deal with them gently. You deal with them patiently. You deal with them as though they're your own brothers. And what do you do with your own younger brother? Now, we're not talking about how the people in the world operate. Some brothers, right, in unbelieving families, the way they operate is, they are jealous of one another. And throughout their life, they always kill one another. Even until the parent lie in the grave, they are also fighting. Until go to the court and then fight and then try and tear away the inheritance. Now, we are not talking, we're not using the people of the world as a yardstick. We are talking about proper Christian behavior, whereby in a family, it is expected that brothers should love one another, and then the older brother should look out for the younger brother and help him to grow. Right? The elder brother would be expected to look after the younger in terms of maybe physical things, in terms of safety, or maybe in terms of advice, him being slightly older and have gone before the rest, to give a bit of advice, to give a bit of support. And sometimes the younger brother also look out for the elder brother and then to help him in little ways, right? Helping out in the family. Well, it's the same down here, isn't it? It's the same down here. Because there can be this tendency in the ministry when, especially if you see someone who is younger coming up, and that particular person, especially in the estimation of someone who is given an office, seems to be one who is perhaps more gifted and perhaps even in Christian graces seems to far excel that person. What do you do to that particular person? Do you help that person to grow or do you thumb him down? That is the key. Oh, it can very happen that looking at this particular person that is growing up, you want to destroy him. Or it could be a disposition whereby you look at the young people simply because you look down upon them. You do not care to want to help them grow in Christian grace. You just simply ignore them. The youth of the world today. Just complain that they are strawberry generation, right? That's the term that is often used. Strawberry generation. They are very soft. No, they can't do this. They can't do that. Everything complain. So therefore, leave them alone. Don't talk to them. They are useless. And then what will happen? What will happen very soon is that when one generation passes and then very soon, that generation is old. Looking back, who is now going to lead the church? The next generation, they are gone. Because you say they are useless, they are really gone. They are not developed, they are not discipled, they are not cared for. And what is left behind in the church is a total wreck. And that is exactly what you find in some churches that are in the West today. You go and then look at the churches, some which are still abiding. Now, we are not talking about all those churches which are engaged in so-called worldly activities and preach heresy. We are talking about churches who try to keep to the Word of God. It is so sad that when you walk into these churches, what you see is you only see groups of elderly. Where are the young people? They are not there. And sometimes even the elderly, you want to count with your hands. 10. There are not even 10 in the church. There are not even 10 in the church. And that is very sad, isn't it? Could it be one of the problems is, in the past when it comes to those which are younger, there is no care and no concern to nurture and to bring them up, to grow in Christian grace and to grow in service? And that underlying problem would be, in the first place, when we look at them, we look at this younger man, this younger woman, we don't look upon them as our fellow brothers and as our fellow sisters. That is the problem. And so we pray that here in this congregation, we pray for all of you, especially those of you who are more senior. When you look at the younger people will always be younger people, okay? Children will always be children. Don't expect a children to walk like an adult. If a children walk and talks like an adult, something is wrong, right? Children will always be children. They will want to play. They will want to run a bit. No, you don't expect them to sit down. Okay. Eat properly. And walk. Don't smile. Don't talk. Very serious. Stately. Walk like an adult. Dress like an adult. Sit down. Hello, uncle. Hello, auntie. Hello. And walk. If a child walks like that, I think I'd be also quite scared. That is not normal, isn't it? Children will be children. Teenagers will be teenagers. Now, that is not excusing sin. Okay? We don't want them to learn from the wickedness and evil of the world. But they will necessarily, in many areas of their life, not be as strong as you. Because they are young. By virtue of the number of years you have on this earth, you have something which the young people don't have. That is exactly what one uncle told me when I was in the Reformation trip. I was talking with him. By right, he should, looking at him, I think, I believe he is of age, way past retirement. But he's still working for the government. He's a scholar. And then he told me, you see, all this. Sometimes young people, they think they know everything. But after a while, in certain areas, the government still wants to retain some experience. Because experience, no one can buy. That is true. Right? You will always be older than the particular young person, and their age difference is always constant. True? Right? If let's say my wife and I, right, there's a certain age difference. Today, the age difference is this number of days, X number of days. Tomorrow, is it going to -1 or +1? No, right? You're always going to be that number of years older than that particular person, right? And hence, in terms of experience, you are always going to be more experienced than that particular person. And it is right, therefore, in terms of your life, whether be it in terms of practical wisdom in daily affairs, or whether is it, right, God willing, right, in terms of His Word. Let's say you have walked in God's Word for many years, that you should be more mature than a young person. It is to be expected. And said, so therefore, when a young person is not as mature as you, don't act as though it's something that is surprising. It is not surprising. It is supposed to be that way. And you, therefore, are in that role to help him to grow. Don't despise him. Why does he behave this way? Why does he behave that way? Help that person. Love that person. Same as what is required with regards to the elder, gently rebuke that person. Treat him with great respect and with great honor. Don't despise the youth of that man. So understand this with regards to the young men as brethren. Serve. Serve them. And then also the sisters. Do not ignore them. Right? The younger as sisters. But down here, purposely add the word with all purity. And that very much has to do, right, because Timothy was a pastor. And so therefore, when he deals with those which are younger, he is especially vulnerable. Reverend Timothy used to say that there are three things which can cause the downfall of a minister. And what are these three things? The first, power. Second, money. Third, sex. And if you look at Christianity, the history of Christianity, you will realize that this is indeed true with many who are in the ministry. And so therefore, with regards to sisters, it is even more important for Timothy to make sure that when he ministers unto them, he must do so with all purity. And here the word purity not only talks about any form of moral purity, but also has in this particular connotation, right, to do with sexual purity. And it does not only talks about committing the act, but it also talks about any form of impropriety. Now, allow me to read from Homer Aiken Jr.'s book. Homer A. Kent is the teacher of my teacher, right? Teacher of my pastor. Dr. Koo is my pastor. Homer A. Kent is his teacher. Right? And this is what he says in his commentary on this verse, on this word, purity. And here he observed, right, this is not a warning only against acts of immorality, such would of course be understood, but against any breach of propriety. Even if immorality is not involved, thoughtlessness or indiscretion will ruin the ministry of any pastor, regardless of his eloquence. Well, when his pastoral duties require him to deal with young women, he should behave as he would want other men to act towards his own sister, or as he would act towards his sister. So in other words, he says what Homer Ken is saying down here, well, as how you would treat your own sister, and we're talking about a Christian gentleman, right? Christian gentleman, when he deals with his own sister, he would treat his sister very well, right? He won't treat his sister very roughly. This is my Mei, right? And I love her very much. I make sure that she continues to remain beautiful, continues to be in good care. I look after her, I protect her. Right? So, it is the case down here, right? So he says, well, when his pastoral duties require him to deal with young women, he should behave as he would want other men to act towards his own sister, or as he would act towards his sister. This warning is most significant, for at this very point, many young men on the threshold of long and fruitful service have long lost their usefulness. In other words, what many a young man who could have been very eloquent in terms of their sermons or in terms of other aspects of their life, just because of one moment of indiscretion, a life of service ahead is ruined. And so therefore, young Timothy, yes, must be very, very careful. And so a good and proper distance, right, especially those of us who are men and are leaders, must be kept with the opposite sex. Well, remember what we have studied in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it talks about the requirements of both the elder and the deacon, right, to be a man of one woman. And then in that particular sermon, it was also discussed how in the BB Church, for very good and practical reasons, right, no one that is a man who is not married will not be ordained. Now, of course, we cannot say that with 100% that every man who is not married cannot be a pastor. Why? Because we know at least there is one example of a man who is not married who is a pastor. Who is that man? Right, the one who is writing this epistle to us, right? Paul. Paul was not married, right? But he was an apostle, and then he was a founding pastor of many churches. But as a general rule, of practical wisdom, Reverend Toh would require that in the Bible Presbyterian Church, right, the ordained minister would have to be someone who is married. Why? Because especially when ministering to women, young, not just younger women, but even elderly women. And nowadays in this world, even if the woman is very elderly, or better have the wife along. You look at the French president, right? French president, the wife, how old? I think can be the grandmother. But, well, that's the wife. So now, even elderly woman, yes, better bring the wife along. So anything happen, and not just the wife, next time even the men, right? And next time even if you have men, also be careful, because the world is now getting twisted. Next time a man minister to a man, right now in Singapore, I don't think is that bad. But perhaps next time in the future, a man minister to a man also, better be careful. Wait, the man suddenly turn around, this person is touching me. Oh, you molest that man. Because in that age, it's very common. It's going to be very common. You die. The only person that can protect you will be, of course, your wife. Your wife will go and then say, no, I was there. I am the wife. He did not do it. Who can argue with the wife? No one can argue with the wife, right? Because the wife says, he did not do it. Right? So, all these things, very important to have godly wisdom in this particular area of how to treat the younger sisters with all purity, with all chastity. Right? Maintain a good and proper distance, especially with with regards to many of the activities. Try your very best as far as possible not to touch the woman. And then if you accidentally touch someone, better say sorry. That's not, I'm not careful. I accidentally touched one. Not careful. I thought it was my own wife. Not careful. Quickly say sorry. All these things, be very, very careful about it, because once you get under accusation, well, very, very difficult. You lose the ministry. And that is true, not just for Timothy, who is a pastor, but it's true for anyone who is serving, anyone in the church. It is the same. Please be very, very careful. Treat the woman as true gentleman. A true gentleman does not tempt the woman. A true gentleman, repeat, a true gentleman does not tempt the woman, but a true gentleman will protect the woman. And woman, please find such men to be your future spouse, if you are called to be married. If you are called to be married, okay? That will be the men that are required. So young men, okay? Young men, especially down here, young men, please learn. Don't follow the ways of the world and treat the sisters without purity. That is your downfall. Understand that. Same, of course, reverse. Please, sisters, please don't think that, okay, now all the responsibility is the man, and then with me means I can treat the young man without purity. Please, remember younger men as brethren. So same. Okay, the way you relate with your fellow brothers, please do so with great courtesy, with great respect, with great decorum, politeness, as what is becoming of a Christian. And so, please understand this, and I believe this has been mentioned before. It need not be repeated in the pulpit. There are a lot of practical things that we can do to make sure that this does not happen. Right? We can only pray that everyone down here would continue to keep to this proper decorum. From the heart, treat the sisters with purity. Treat your brothers also with purity. And so as we come to the end of this sermon, what have we learned today? Well, we have learned a few things. Number one, right, of course, the pastor's duty is to minister unto all. And that's why necessary he is the ex officio of all ministries. Not so much because to glory or everything is ex officio, but it is an indication of how his burden, of the scope of his burden. It has to be everything that is in the church. But in a sense, that is also the duty of everyone in the church, that all of us have to minister to everyone. Whether be it young, whether be it old, whether be it men, whether be it women, we have to minister. And we cannot pick and choose. Not like, for example, one case whereby a person was asked to, wanted to teach the teens, but then was asked to teach the children instead, and then he did not want. He did not want, not because he felt that he don't have the gift to teach children. Some people, naturally with children, with teenagers, they can talk a lot. With children, suddenly they are tongue-tied. He is not like this, but he does not want. Not in that kind of spirit. Okay, and especially if you are called into the full-time ministry, and we pray for more young and more women who will be truly called into the harvest field, please understand this. Your duty now, especially, right? Last time, that is your duty. Now, your duty, even more so, right? Unto all. But how we minister unto all is also very important, right? So the attitude is also covered down here. You minister unto them as fellow brethren, fellow members in the family of God. And that is rooted in the doctrine of the gospel, is rooted in the doctrine of the church. You minister to those who are more elderly than you as though they are your fathers and your mothers. And how you would therefore talk to your father and mother, how you would therefore honor them, you also honor these which are in the congregation. Treat them with good respect. That does not mean that you do not rebuke them or admonish them when the need requires, but the way this is done is never one that is without respect. There will be cases where people need to be rebuked sharply, just like what is written in the book of Titus. Nevertheless, right, even if sharp rebuke is given, always make sure at the end of it, it is done lovingly so that the person can be helped. Unless that person is already an apostate or a reprobate, of which there is no choice, he has to be, as communicated, he has to be rejected. Otherwise, treat such with proper respect. At the same time, those which are younger, the keyword again is respect and honor. Do not despise them. The Lord can often use young, little, insignificant things to glorify His name. Is it not true that the Lord can make even the babes to praise His name? And so therefore, with regards to the young people, whether be it men, whether younger men or younger women, treat them as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And then as we relate with one another, do so with all purity, do so with clean intentions. And when this is done, right, it's our prayer that the church will continue to grow as a vibrant body, which will seek to glorify God for the extension of His kingdom. And so may the Lord help us to understand all these things. Will you not therefore minister unto all? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, truly, Lord, help us as Thy people to love one another in the truth. For it is by this love that is grounded in Thy Holy Scriptures that men will know that we are Thy disciples. And so help us to minister unto all, the friend, the foe, the young, the elderly, men or women, rich and poor, all alike, Lord, help us to live fervently in Christ Jesus and to do what is best and necessary for each other to do Thy will. And so, Lord, as we depart from here, O Lord, and at the end of our service, surely, O Lord, we pray that You will strengthen us and guide us in our service for Thee. For we want to do all things for Thy glory and Thy glory alone. This is our humble cry in Jesus' most blessed name. Amen.